We're certainly thankful indeed for God's blessing to permit us to assemble on this Lord's Day, this fifth Sunday in March this year. We're delighted that God has favored us in that way, and we're thankful for our membership. We're thankful for our visitors and guests who've come our way. We hope that each has a reminder of the importance of worship before God and the excitement that should be ours as we come to a moment such as this one. You can probably tell by way of the title, we're going to reflect somewhat on technology and the Christian. And as we do that, certainly there will be much more that might be said. But hopefully, it'll be matters that can encourage you and me in light of even the thought of serving the Lord with faithfulness, even connected with the matters of technology. This opening slide is one that, in a very gentle way, proceeds like this. Wouldn't you agree that technology has become a very basic and fundamental fabric to our society? We each probably have cell phones, may have computers and tablets. You may even have appliances in your house that operate by way of connection to the internet. They now make washing machines and many other particular pieces of implementation that, in fact, can operate in that way. You might be able to set your heating and air conditioning shortly after the building before you get home and use your phone to do it. You might be able to turn on your lights or even turn on other particular appliances, and you'll use technology to make that a reality. But beyond all of that, we know, too, that there are platforms, and those could be listed in great deal of Facebook and TikTok, Instagram, a whole host of other things. I suppose the question might then be, isn't it amazing to think of what can be done with technology? And isn't it true, God surely has blessed the human frame with the ability to not only design and build that, but that it can be used in a way that's noteworthy and good. And by the way, that happens often. But I suppose it could equally well be asked, could it possibly be that there are things in it that might be noteworthy for a Christian to be mindful of? Are there dangers? Are there certain things that might not be so good about it? Well, you and I will explore that a little bit this morning, thinking not only about that, but trying to develop it beginning this way. Can I first begin with what I consider an important fact, and I know you will too. That fact not only will involve what I mentioned a moment ago, but it will in fact extend it slightly like this. Without a doubt, technology is an amazing thing. As you give thought to the science that's behind it and now the capability of what it makes possible, do you know that you can listen to gospel sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And it's not just sermons. You can consult Bible resources, be it commentaries or the writings that could help elucidate certain parts of the Bible. While you're sitting in a dentist's office waiting to go in, you can actually be listening to something connected to the Bible. While you're in your car, playing over the radio, you can, in fact, rather than some of the songs which are not so good, you actually can reflect upon things found in the Word of God. The point is, technology is really remarkable. You and I have brethren in distant countries, be they India, be they South Africa, be they a host of other places, and they, in fact, use the internet for Bible classes, and they use it to aid in the presentation of matters. When Ron Gilbert and others shared with us about that, we can see how easily technology is a part of what, in fact, they make possible. You'll notice on that slide, could I point out that Jesus, in fact, would encourage you and me to be those that are diligent users of technology. Recall with me the closing words in the gospel according to Matthew. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Among the statements the Lord made is, you go. You and I may well never set foot in Cambodia. We may never set foot on the northern stream of Australia. We may never visit China. But my point is, you and I can employ technology to aid us, the church, in our country to go to those places. Now, we desire to send people there, men who can teach and preach in a very public and rather clear, appreciated way, but it is also lovely that we have the blessing of using technology. On that slide, I've asked you to appreciate this. Technology can thus be a key component, a very powerful component. We here in our congregation use it. Every one of the lessons is recorded. In fact, it's uploaded to the internet and can be listened by any human being anywhere in the world that has simply a computer. I might say again, that's a wonderful opportunity. You might well appreciate that we use technology by way of radio lessons. Our congregation supports two different radio programs in which the gospel is presented to those both near and far who again are in position to at least pick up the radio signals. As you approach near the bottom of that slide, here is now the lesson I wish us all to remember. So far, we've highlighted the Lord's approval for using technology, but isn't it true the devil knows about technology too? Satan knows all about it too. He's well aware of its opportunities, well aware of its power, well aware of what could be done, and because of that, we also are well aware that he has conscripted it in many ways. And there are dangers, there are concerns, there are matters you and I must keep in mind, because after all, he has made it to be used for his purposes just as surely as it could be used for those that are good. These next few slides will then invite us to think about some of what the devil has done. And those warnings will simply allow us to be more mindful of it. And the first thing that I'll use for our point of discussion will just be the four-letter word time. As it relates to technology, you don't have to raise your hand, but could I ask you a question? Have you ever, in fact, sat before a computer or maybe a smartphone or a cell phone, and you proceed with interest to look at something you're interested in? It may be information connected to something, and before you know it, 2 hours have passed. Before you know it, a host of other videos. Isn't it true that Google and all the others, they keep track of what you and I watch, and they know what you like, and they'll keep feeding it, one after the other, until a lot of time may well have passed. If you've ever been in that position, may I say it can be concerning. Let's look at some passages that might well develop it like this. There's one thing for sure you and I know about the Word of God. It's that the loving God has blessed us so mightily. And that surely includes time, but with regard to everything He's provided us, He does demand stewardship. That is to say, He demands that we be proper servants with regard to that blessing, whatever it happens to be. We quite often, I suppose, think about that connected to money. In other words, if God has blessed us, we are supposed to give back as we've been prospered, which means we give back a lot, if He's blessed us with a lot. But would you give thought to make that application to other realms of life? God's blessed all of us with 168 hours every week, divided into 24-hour days. And yet I can think about it myself. Am I a good steward of my utilization of that time, and are you? I would invite us to think about Luke 12, verses 35 to 38. In that set of verses, the Lord makes the demand that we be good stewards of the blessings provided to us, and Peter would echo it in 1 Peter 4:10 by saying we must, in fact, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God connected to the gift that He's given to us. It might be because of that. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says that stewards must be found faithful in light of, again, the blessings that they have been presented. That was etched in the language so often seen in not only the gospel accounts, but also examples we saw in the life of Paul and maybe Peter and others. Surely in that connection, we might remember the Old Testament lesson found in Deuteronomy chapter 14. In that text, you and I might remember that God did speak about the tithe. May we never forget, that didn't merely include money. They had to give a tithe of their seed. That is to say, whatever seed you had, 10% of it had to go to God. If you had a flock, it was expected that 10% of it was directed to God. maybe the principle connected to that should be something worthy of consideration for us. And so, as you and I have been blessed with time, I'll simply point out that social media in particular can be, not that it always is, but it can be a particular danger point if we're consuming too much time, frivolously wasting it, looking at things that serve no benefit, that in fact serve little, if any, benefit. You may notice on that slide, I invite you to consider this. If God made those demands of the Old Testament people, and we live beneath a better covenant today, wouldn't it be reasonable to suppose, in the language of Hebrews 8, that His expectation today would certainly be no less, and may even be somewhat higher? I say all of that to say this. I know that statistics could be listed many times over, but here is a set that was collected by one of the reputable sources that survey people. How much time is spent on devices? And this particularly breaks it down by way of device. You may notice that on average, 2 hours and 3 minutes a day, people who are surveyed spend on their tablet. 2 hours and 30 minutes a day on a desktop, 2 hours, 47 minutes on a laptop, 3 hours, 49 minutes on a television, 5 hours and 1 minute a day. 5 hours and 1 minute a day on a smartphone. Add all of that up and subtract it from 24, you don't have a whole lot left, it seems to me. But we have become a world who seems to be always connected. And like I say, there's no doubt good things can come out of that. But is it always that way? We need to be careful. Are we using our time in a way that's constructive? This next slide will go and break it down like this. So what are you doing with all that connection? At least what did the survey respondents say? You'll notice that this is broken down in such a way that the things are broken down as to what at least was a part of that time. 98% that at least part of it was connected to email. Maybe you're connected to your work site, and that may well be needful. A lot of online shopping. A lot of social media browsing. Online banking, streaming television, streaming movies, playing games. Some of it connected to work, listening to podcasts, schoolwork. 30% at the bottom. Again, that may not be characteristic of everybody, and I'm almost certain that it's not, but at least it raises a danger sign, doesn't it? As you give thought to all of that, what about this next slide? So how much time on average by those that responded are connected to each one of these? Listen to some of these. 3 hours a day streaming television. 2 hours and 43 minutes just browsing social media, be it Instagram, Facebook, you get the idea. 2 hours and 34 minutes watching movies every day. One by one, as again those averages, I'll just move forward and ask you to notice all of that surely is a reminder that these things are possible. And the connection our world affords is, again, amazingly powerful. Am I using my time in connection wisely? Is it constructive? This next slide, what about breaking all of that down even more carefully, dividing it up by virtue of the actual screen time according to the generation of those using it? Now, you can decide which particular generation you're in. Gen Z is on the left, millennials, next column, Gen X, and then finally the boomers. So many of us might be more on the right side of that particular screen, but notice, the Gen Z people, 6 hours and 16 minutes a day on a smartphone. Somewhat frightening in a way. But now we on the right aren't too much different, still well over 3 hours on average. As you move down the slide, you sometimes find differences connected to others. And as you give thought to plugging yourself into that, maybe again you have only connection by way of the age. Maybe that doesn't really detail your life. But isn't it a snapshot of what may be the larger picture of our world and the circumstances that are in fact seen in it? This next slide takes that, even breaking it down like this. It breaks down now that previous slide by virtue of the actual activity by way of its connection. One by one, as you look at that, maybe not much more I need to say. The hour count, the hour time can be significant. I need to go back to that previous slide. Let me jump all the way back through these and ask you to look down near the bottom of that slide. That's where we were a moment ago. The tools of technology, as remarkable as they are, they afford us a tremendous ability to connect to things that can be of value in life. But as we've just seen, they can also be that which consumes a fair amount of our time. In the year 2021, 3.5 hours a day were consumed by virtue of these social things we've just highlighted. If you multiply that out, that comes to 25 hours a week. We all know what that means. If you thumb that out to a typical degree of life, that's 10 years of your life connected to that. Think about what 25 hours a week would mean. We typically think about a work day being 8 hours. That's 3 full work days each week invested and devoted to the social aspects of media and otherwise. Again, many of those things can be used productively. But are we sure we're doing it that way? Surely one of the questions that God could easily ask of any of us, in terms of the time given to us, what was it the Lord said? This was read just a moment ago in our hearing. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus used the verb must, as if there was, during the course of His lifetime, a set of activities that He was expected to complete, a set of works that He was, in fact, to finish. And later on, in John 19:30, He could Himself say, "It is finished." I wonder about my life and yours. When the time comes that we lay the old mortal coil of this flesh in death, can I say, and will you be able to say, that I have completed that which I could have done? Well, maybe if I've invested 10 years of my life in social media and otherwise, maybe that's a rather poor return on investment. Something for you and me to consider, isn't it? In Ephesians 5:15, we are urged, in fact commanded, to walk circumspectly every day in wisdom, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The discussion of time so far has just been a matter of question, a matter of some statistics which, quite frankly, can be concerning, but which surely would remind us that we're needing to be wiser. I need to step past those same slides now to bring us back to where we continue. As we do that, we come to this point. What about another observation or a lesson that could be fruitful, at least in this particular point of discussion? After looking at each one of these, we now discover, after this next one, what about the matter connected to morality? I'm quite sure that the very mention of the word danger, as I used it earlier, probably brought this one to mind, but it certainly is worthy of some consideration. Don't we know that in light of technology, be it a desktop computer, be it a tablet, be it a smartphone, we have immediate access to a lot of websites. As I've said, many of which are wholesome and good, but many of which are at best neutral and many others are just downright sinful. And yet, as we have access to all of that, isn't it true that we can appreciate, by virtue of technology, things given in a lot of directions? We see portrayal of adultery and fornication, all kinds of sexual sin. We see portrayals of many other attributes of behavior that God does not approve. Maybe at this point, I could raise again the banner that has come to be a rather noteworthy problem that seemingly is engulfing a fair amount of our land. And it's pornography. the sexual appetite of people is certainly great. And now the internet has allowed almost ready access to supposed excitement along that line. I list for you again some statistics that are disturbing. Among those aged 18 to 30, 79% openly admit that they pursue pornography, and 30% of them say they do it every day. In the age 31 to 49, it's still a whopping 67%. In the age beyond 50, it's still half. Point is, there was a day and a time when to access pornographic materials, you had to go to a store. And so there was an open inhibition with regard to it. Somebody might see you there. And that's not true anymore. You can pick up a cell phone and access all kinds of material. And people often do it, no doubt, apparently, under the matter of secrecy or at least privacy, and nobody will know. I might say that danger has engulfed, again, apparently, a lot of people. We certainly must be careful. And as parents, make sure you know what your youngsters are accessing on those cell phones. Make sure you have an idea of what is at least being considered and seen. Feeding the soul with that stuff is very dangerous. It will not only cloud one's judgment with regard to perhaps a marriage someday, it'll cloud one's judgment with regard to morality and spiritual matters even at an early age. Could I say even beyond all of that? There's just open immodesty, and lots of it. We all know the world isn't governed by God's laws of modesty. People wear what they shouldn't, they expose way too much, and that's all over the internet. We again have to be very cautious and mindful, certainly never giving it our endorsement or support. That means that when you share things with your friends on Facebook, make sure that if you forward a picture that people are dressed modestly. You don't want that being such that it's as if you're approving it. You and I have to be careful and mindful about all of that. There's a poem Alexander wrote many years ago, which I think is appropriate to reflect, at least at this point. And since it's so short, I just included it in its entirety. I'll read it and then let's reflect a little bit upon it. Vice is a monster, so frightful and mean as to be hated, needs but to be seen. Yet seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. To describe somewhat about that, I think we can see that what's under discussion is this. We may at the outset be strongly opposed to something, because the fabric of our education and our being is certainly well against it. But then we see it enough. We tinker with it enough. We finally come to overlook it. We finally come maybe even to pity those who have feelings and who are touched by it. And finally we embrace it. That's the story of how Satan accomplishes a lot of the stuff he accomplishes. He just puts it before the faces of Christians enough. We finally tolerate it. May I suggest it would seem a lot of modesty issues are connected to that very matter. As we've looked at both time and morality, the next slide takes us in yet this direction. Could I suggest another danger connected to technology? This one is again significant, worthy of some reflection on your part and mine, and it's under the heading of misinformation. I stated that carefully, misinformation. May I say it this way? There are approximately 200 million active websites on the internet. 200 million. And every single day, 252,000 new ones are created. Anybody can create a website. Anybody can create a website. And therefore, a large amount of what you and I encounter on the internet just simply isn't true. Somebody has created a site, put something on it. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll just believe everything we read, everything we see, when so often that person who is not an expert, who is not educated, trained, or in any way even experienced, they make their personal and speculative statements, And it just simply is not the case. That's not only true in the political realm. That's true in almost every other realm of life. And yet I say that to say this, here's a danger. Of those earlier that I mentioned who were polled, 86% of them say they get their news from a cell phone. 86% get their news from a smartphone. Now, I'm not defending all the news networks. They can easily just be as corrupted as anybody else. But when you're getting your trustworthy, supposed news on a cell phone, and anybody can create a site and say anything they want, am I sure that's to be trusted? Am I sure that I can follow this? As you look forward on that slide, may I say that that's a danger that educators face. I know we do at the college age, and I'm sure high school teachers do too. You ask a student to comprise a report in which you persuasively investigate some topic. Where do they get their sources? The smartphone. A smartphone is no credible source. They need to do a book review and find some credible source in which they could quote some readily appreciated statistics about something. Many people have lost the capacity to distinguish what's really trustworthy and what's not. May I again remind us that Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Maybe all of that is a danger sign brings me to another statement near the bottom of that slide. This very issue was a problem for ancient Judah. Now you may ask, how could that be? They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have technology, internet, nothing back at that time. But in Jeremiah 9 verse 2, there was an issue, a premise that was raised where God challenged them. They were strong in the land, but not for truth. Oh, they had strength in other ways, but it was not strength that was directed toward the matter of truth. And for that, God rebuked them. Today, I wonder what could be said of the American society in general. Strong for entertainment, strong for social connectedness, strong for other matters of otherwise the matters to be seen, but not for truth. Would that describe us as a land? I fear it may be truer than we might wish to admit. Surely we wouldn't want that to be said of the church. As you come near the close of that slide, could I say that the final one I would mention as far as our lesson is that of mission. What is the mission of the church? And what is the mission of the Christian? What is it you and I are supposed to be doing? What is our life all about? I know quite well that the whole thoroughfare of what life is and what it is to be is the most basic, I suppose, and fundamental question that can be asked. Why am I here? Why are you here? Are we here on earth to take up space, resources, and time for seven decades or so, and then we pass on? Or is there a work, a mission, a purpose? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. The whole purpose that I'm here, the whole purpose you're here, the whole purpose any human being is here, is to keep the commands of God. To say that differently, I could say it like this. There may be an individual born into this world, and that person may be a dramatically powerful individual leading one of the finest and most profitable companies in the world. But if that person dies not faithful to God, he's missed his purpose. And he's going to leave this world not ready for what's going to follow. There may be a baby born into this world. She may discover a cure for cancer. Every kind and form there is. If she dies not faithful to the Lord, she missed her purpose. You and I might have many attributes to say about ourselves, and hopefully they're noteworthy and good in that we're examples for goodness and godliness. but maybe not lose sight. The whole purpose of life is to serve God and keep His commandments. That should be indicative of our connection to social media and our connection to technology. Is it something that would amplify that thought? What if someone were able to stand on your shoulder or mine and look for the whole day at what I'm looking at on that cell phone or computer or tablet or otherwise? Would that person smile and think, now there's an example of a solid Christian woman or man. I need to be like them. I need to do what they do. Or would that person perhaps have to smirk and turn away his or her head when they see what we're looking at? And they check how much time we used in light of this. Would that be a concern? It is something to consider, isn't it? As you close that particular slide, I mention in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13, a statement about what God's mission and purpose to be seen in the light of ancient Israel was. This next slide is one that amplifies that this way. Distraction can be a problem for any of us. I hope that we don't allow social media to be distractive, that we come to a point where we're investing things, our time or other matters in it in a way that is not consistent with what God would say. As I close this particular lesson, it has been my goal to attempt to use principles. I understand well that there was no internet in Jesus' day, literally. There was no console for gaming. There was no TikTok, Instagram, or otherwise. All of that, again, is fairly recent. As a part of this lesson, I pondered at one time, and it rather occurred to me. I can remember a time when nobody had a cell phone. It just hadn't been invented yet. I can remember a time when nobody had email. It hadn't become a matter of consideration yet, open to the public. I can remember a time when none of that was possible. 3 decades later, nearly everybody has it. May I say, it's happened so quickly that maybe the devil has begun to turn it and has been able to turn it in ways that has posed dangers. We know he's really good at what he does. I'm just hopeful our lesson today, in terms of the principles we found in the Word of God, continues to be a reminder of the wisdom that God would expect of us and the utilization and wisdom of that technology he's given us. As you analyze your life, and as I do the same for me, are we good stewards of the manifold grace of God? 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And that conclusion slide challenges us to think of it this way. Just as surely as that technology can be so good and profitable and useful, we've at least highlighted some dangers. Because Satan also knows what it can do, and he doesn't want it to be used for good. Today, if maybe you or I need to reflect upon this and you need to make some changes, or if I need to make some changes, I trust that we will think with care and that we'll be motivated perhaps to make those sooner, very, very soon. May we extend the Lord's invitation. There may be someone in this assembly who has never become a Christian. Oh, you've reached an age where you know what happened at Calvary. You know the Lord died for you, and you know what sin is all about, and you know its penalty. And you have reached the point of wanting to do something about it. Jesus says you need to believe in Him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess His name and, of course, to be baptized. If we could help in that way today, and we'd love to do it, we're going to extend that invitation. But by the same token, maybe you have walked in that way of life and you knew its direction and you knew its purpose, but maybe over the course of time, you've begun to walk in a different way. A way that maybe is characteristic of things that you know need to be changed. Would you please have the courage to make the changes? The Lord doesn't ask you to do it by yourself. He'll be there to help you. He'll be there to encourage and to edify. May I say that if it needs to be something in a public way, may we as the Pippin Church assist. Would you repent of those sins and confess them? We'd be happy to not only pray to God with you, but to surround you with arms of encouragement and support. Today, if we could be of help in any of these ways, We'd like to extend the invitation and invite you to come now while together we stand and while we sing.